Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com.
Whoever ends up being the Republican nominee for governor in Colorado is a long shot to even stand a chance at winning the general election. But we still don't know who that'll be. Democrats have left Tuesday's primaries in the rearview after a decisive win by Attorney General Phil Weiser, but Republicans are stuck in a state of limbo as the primary for governor still remains too close to call. Ministry leader Victor Marx has a 2,000-vote lead over State Senator Barb Kirkmeyer. That's currently outside of the margin that would trigger an automatic recount, though candidates can always request a recount at their own expense. So Victor Marx is a first-time candidate from Colorado Springs. He got into the race after the assassination of MAGA commentator Charlie Kirk and has gained national attention, in partly due to his fantastical claims that he's made about his life and ministry work. Many of those claims have struggled to stand the test of scrutiny from our own questions. Barb Kirkmeyer is a former Weld County commissioner and state senator who served on Colorado's Joint Budget Committee. She's a more traditional conservative who has broken with the far-right faction of her own party. She was ahead on election night, but has been losing ground ever since as more votes come in. So if you ask the Marx campaign what may be helping, they would probably say it's prayer. The election night watch party looked more like a religious revival towards the end of the evening when a minister got on stage and told people it was time to ask God to help turn the tide. For the next 20 or 30 minutes, people prayed for an 11th-hour win as Marx sat about 10,000 votes behind that evening. 2 days later now, he's up a couple thousand votes over Kirkmeyer. Marx has said from the start that God called on him to run for governor.
Listen, it ain't over. And if you know my life story, this is our normal. Every drop, we're getting closer and closer. The percentage is dropping and dropping. So I believe between now and when I am named the nominee for the GOP, two things have to happen, prayer and a lot of hard work.
That was on Tuesday night, and it's still moving his way right now. Both campaigns will be busy trying to sway the odds in their favor for the next several days. They get a list of curable ballots from the state and have until Wednesday to track down those voters and convince them to try to fix any discrepancies like signatures or ID issues so that those ballots can count. But let's set expectations here. Whoever is the Republican nominee is likely to lose in the general election in a state that has elected one Republican governor in the last 55 years. Meanwhile, nearly every prominent Democrat in the state stood on one stage today to promote a message of unity after some hard-fought primaries. Michael Bennett congratulated Phil Weiser. Julie Gonzalez congratulated John Hickenlooper. And Diana DeGette didn't show up.
What you saw in this primary was two patriots who love Colorado making their best case.
If unity was the message, this rally was a pretty good place to show it.
Michael Bennett deserves extraordinary respect, our appreciation for his service, how he does it, why he does it. Please welcome my friend, Senator Michael Bennett.
Rivals just days ago. Today, they were all on the same team.
I congratulate him on winning this race. He won this race. It was a tough race. He won it fair and square, and I will do everything I can to help him win this governorship.
Yet of all the important people in this room, one was missing.
And so I want us all to give Congresswoman DeGette a large and loud round of applause.
The dean of the Colorado Congressional Delegation was a no-show at the Unity Rally. 29 years after she was elected, Diana DeGette was beaten by 29-year-old Malak Kiros.
What does it say about Democratic unity that your opponent, Diana DeGette, is not here today?
You know, I think the Congresswoman has rightfully earned a day of rest. You know, all of the work that she has done to represent this district, this state, as the dean of the delegation, and everything that she did to build the city and the culture that welcomed me and my family. I'm grateful for her service, and I hope she is taking some well-deserved rest.
DeGette hasn't taken questions from 9 News and only released a short video after her loss.
Frankly, this was not the way I would have wanted to end my career in politics, but I'm proud of my accomplishments.
As the focus now shifts to the general election, full unity feels like it could have used one more person in the crowd today.
Onward and upward.
I reached out to Congresswoman DeGette's office to see why she wasn't at the rally today. They said she was out of town. So Democratic Socialist Milot Kyros's upset win over Degette in Tuesday's first congressional district primary comes with some looming questions. Will her win be the first domino in a statewide socialist movement? Our Spencer Soischer looks into it.
I've always wanted to feel what it's like to say something so fresh and fiery. Someone pounds an air horn. Okay, that was sweet. But the constant air horns and dancing at Democratic Socialist Milot Kyros's election party Tuesday were for her, young socialist celebrating her upset win and what may come next.
DSA! DSA!
If you were the mayor watching the election results come in the other night, are you sweating?
I think if I'm the mayor, I'm going to be trying to pivot pretty far left.
Democratic political strategist Deep Singh Badeja is a Democratic Socialist of America member and worked on Kyros's campaign. Even after this one and similar wins for DSA members in New York, he's unsure if DSA's next target will be Denver Mayor Mike Johnston's office.
I'm not sure if we have a Zohran Mamdani quite yet. Milot Kyros, to her credit, is an amazing communicator, an amazing speaker, someone who has our values tied there and can really defend them. I think we would need a really, really strong candidate.
It's clear Denver's saying that we're looking for fighters. You know, we're looking for people who are willing to fight, and we agree. I think no one's...
Johnston says Kyros' win does not concern him or prove he needs to make any change, but more a sign that Denver Democrats were growing impatient with complacency and inaction from 29-year incumbent Diana Degette.
I talk to the same people in the supermarket that Milot talks to and Diana talks to, and I know what they're mad about.
I think it's all about the candidate.
Former progressive Denver City Council member Robin Kanich thinks Tuesday was about new energy, and not all of it was linked to DSA. She thinks for Johnston to be safe, he should look closely at what Kyros promised voters, stopping big corporations from billionaires driving political decisions.
That ability to identify with regular working people isn't going to be achieved with investments in downtown. It's not going to be achieved with, you know, big signature projects. It's going to have to get more down into the daily lives of the people of Denver.
Both Kanich and Badeja think the mayor's office won't be DSA's next priority anyways. In November, there's a special election for an at-large city council member stepping down for health reasons. That council member is a DSA member. They gave the old sports cliche, one game at a time. Figure out who to put up for that race in November, and then after November, DSA could try to go all in on one candidate, if they have one, to go up against Johnston this coming April.
You were at that election night watch party with the horn and the DJ and all that fun stuff. I mean, the average age there was like 30 years old. Like, she is tapping in to a totally younger group of voters that don't necessarily always participate, especially in a primary election.
Right. And those are the voters that the Democratic Party have been trying to get to show up to elections as well. Again, really, really young crowd, not a lot of career politicians that we could see in that crowd. I do think it would be curious to know, and we don't have polling on this or data that I know of, but Denver obviously has this reputation as a town where a lot of people have moved, young people move. If those people are now here and are voting in our elections, that's a different electorate, right?
She's going to make an impact, and we'll see what it is. Spencer Soischer, thank you. So the 4th of July could not come at a worse time for fire danger in the state. As Coloradans make their yearly trek up to Wyoming to buy fireworks, back here at home, firefighters and state officials are pleading with people to please be smart. As wildfires burn across the state, resources are stretched thin, and officials say they cannot handle another spark. The Aspen Acres fire has now burned more than 78 square miles in Pueblo and Custer counties, still at 0% containment. Fire officials say it was human-caused, still under investigation, though. The wildfire has destroyed more than 155 structures since it started burning on Monday. The Willow Fire, which started burning near Leadville on Sunday, has grown now to about 3.5 square miles, also with 0% containment. Homes still evacuated west of town, and the cause of that fire also under investigation. Today, Democratic Governor Jared Polis gave an update on the fires. He was down in Pueblo. He said although he hasn't issued a statewide ban, Coloradans should be responsible and celebrate without any flames this weekend.
Care about our state, if you care about our firefighters, do not use fireworks or other types of flames this 4th of July weekend. I mean, that's the unambiguous message, no matter where you live.
With fires actively burning across the state and advanced fire restrictions all across the state, most 4th of July fireworks displays are fizzling out. Almost all the Denver metro area is under a stage 2 fire ban. That means no fireworks at all. Douglas County canceled professional fireworks displays today. Arvada also canceled its fireworks display today. They plan to pop the fireworks off in November instead for Veterans Day. They already bought them. Still ahead, a federal court ruling could pave the way for hundreds of people to get out of immigration detention centers.
Yeah, just chaos, pretty much. It wasn't any semblance of a normal looking patio.
And a restaurant hit by flash flooding reopens after a rough week, but they couldn't do it alone. That's next. Kathy, it is hot and dry out there. So much work being done by firefighters right now.
Oh, so much work. And we have so much smoke moving into the downtown area and up over elevated terrain. Not the kind of weather that we want to enjoy our 4th of July holiday or outdoor summer activities in. And the wildfires burning across our state. A week ago, we didn't have any, but now 100,000 acres have burned. And now it's all about the smoke across the Front Range, which has created air quality alerts. The heat will continue. Upper 80s and low 90s. We saw that today. We'll see that tomorrow. It is tinder dry. I don't have to tell you that across the entire state. The wind forecast, something we'll be monitoring very closely. Some areas will see an improvement in the wind. Other areas will see more wind. And so this fire weather warning may cover more of Colorado tomorrow. So far, Denver not included, but areas west and south certainly in that fire zone. And the air quality, not great. An air quality alert issued through Friday morning for that dense wildfire smoke. And we're tracking two thunderstorms, one of which is severe up in Morgan County and Washington County. And that's for the fear of hail. No reports of that yet, but wind and lightning, something we don't want to see in and around the town of Woodrow, hoping for a little bit of rain. But wind, lightning, and hail, not something that's going to help anybody at this point. The thunderstorms in Springfield and Campa have moved out of the state. Not a lot coming into Colorado in the way of cloud cover or even moisture over the next few days. And so we all need to be so careful and so vigilant. Mid 80s now, low 70s by about midnight tonight. Your 7-day forecast, low 90s for Friday and for Saturday. Slight chance of a thunderstorm late in the weekend with a better chance of rain from storms coming in on Tuesday afternoon. Mark.
Kathy, thank you. A federal appeals court in Denver has ruled the Trump administration must grant immigrant detainees bond hearings rather than holding them indefinitely in detention centers. Federal law allows for immigrants to be denied bond for their hearings if they're detained at the border. Trump administration has attempted to expand that authority as part of a mass deportation strategy and has been ordering mandatory detention for immigrants arrested inside the U.S. In a unanimous decision this week, Denver's 10th Circuit Court of Appeals ruled against the Trump administration, allowing immigrant detainees in Colorado and several other western states to request temporary release from ICE detention while their court proceedings continue. Now, the ruling doesn't mean every immigrant in detention is eligible for bond. A court can still deem individuals a flight risk for public safety risks. Immigration and Customs Enforcement issued a rare correction today after spreading misinformation about two detainees in Colorado as well. Yesterday, ICE posted that their officers had arrested two immigrants suspected of felony homicide. They also claimed that their officers were forced to make the arrests in the community because jail officials didn't turn them directly over to ICE. It's a tactic frequently used by ICE to highlight non-cooperation from officials in so-called sanctuary cities. But the post isn't true. According to court documents, the two men were picked up last month after allegedly shooting at a car on Highway 36 in Boulder. No one was injured or killed. The men were charged with attempted murder and posted bond. Emails show the Boulder Sheriff's Office informed ICE before one of the suspects bonded out, and an ICE employee said they didn't have staff available to pick him up. Spokesperson for the Sheriff's Office says ICE never asked for the suspect, never asked for the second suspect, I should say. ICE has issued a correction about the charges the men face, but their original post is still up, and ICE still claims that the jail didn't work with immigration officers. We've contacted ICE for clarification, but haven't heard back yet. A restaurant in Jefferson County has reopened after a flash flood, but not without some serious work.
Scooping up mud. Mud after mud after mud after mud.
Behind the all-hands-on-deck effort to get a local business up and running again. That's next. week after a flash flood swept through the town of Kittredge in Jefferson County, the local smokehouse is now back open. And it happened thanks to a lot of help from people in the community. Here's Evan Krugel.
The feeling of being by water is good for the soul.
The start of summer in Colorado's foothills usually means it's safe to put the shovels away.
I mean, whenever it snows, I always get the patio cleared off, so.
Daryl Swartz owns the Switchback Smokehouse in Kittredge.
Yeah, we've got a great spot, Sun Bear Creek.
Where he thought it was safe to put the winter gear away.
Only momentarily. I got the boots out pretty quickly.
Daryl needed those boots because Mother Nature decided his patio needed one more round of shoveling.
Yeah, it was hard to walk through.
Last Thursday, a flash flood on Bear Creek sent water and mud into the restaurant.
Yeah, so all the tables had been lifted up. The force of the water had pushed everything into the back corner. Just chaos, pretty much. It wasn't any semblance of a normal looking patio.
I've seen a lot, but I've never, ever witnessed anything like this in my career.
Chef Scotty Mazur grabbed a shovel.
Scooping up mud. Mud after mud after mud after mud.
And it was heavy. It had like the feel of about, 4 feet of snow trying to push. And it was only maybe 6 inches of mud, but the weight on it, you really couldn't go too far with it.
But with help from the community, Daryl's team cleared the deck.
It was a team effort. It was an utter team effort. And this is our family, and family watches out for family.
You know, we've always loved the support for the restaurant, and but to have those, those days that aren't the fun ones, it's not just eating food on a great patio and having some beers and doing all that stuff. But when it comes to the dirty stuff too, or the hard work, people are so willing to help out, and it really is nice.
The Switchback got its name from its location on the creek.
It's just a peaceful spot to get to spend so much time at.
Last week was different.
Not so much last week.
Daryl knows this community has his back.
We got our briskets.
In return,
we got some chicken and duck.
They've got the stomachs in Kittredge covered.
I think it looks like a brand new restaurant. And I'm stoked. I'm stoked to be cooking here and just rocking and rolling again what we do best.
There is still plenty of cleaning up that needs to happen here in Kittredge. That hot tub we showed you last week that washed downstream in the storm is still there. But this community hopes the reopening of the Switchback can be a positive step toward recovery. For Next, I'm Evan Krugel.
Food looks good, the hot tub not so much. Jeffco says there were 27 homes that were also damaged in the flood. None of those were found unsafe to live in. And with the opening of the smokehouse, there's no businesses that still remain closed. Some cleanup continues there in Kittredge. Your feedback with Marilyn is next. Remember, no fireworks this week.
No fireworks, absolutely not.
Some feedback from Marilyn tonight. She writes in saying, as a 75-year-old voter, I was so glad to see Kiros win. It's not just young voters who want change. Some of us old established folks have seen many changes and realize the old established folks need to know. That's certainly a perspective that a lot of people share. Listen, she couldn't win with just the young vote. And a different feedback, I was out on the Western Slope earlier this week covering that wildfire where three firefighters lost their lives. And talking to firefighters out there, they said, honor those lives that were lost by not shooting off fireworks this weekend. There are a ton of firefighters that are working really hard through this holiday. Let's honor them as well. Stay safe out there.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News, streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Krugel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.